We're going to turn tonight to Colossians chapter 1, where it really brings together, I believe, this topic of Christ as Creator and Redeemer. And I mentioned in the bulletin, we'll read verses 15 through 20, but in your pew Bibles here, it actually begins with a 13th verse in this separation of verses. We'll read down through verse 20. As we think about being rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And so this is then talking about His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile, all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So that's the passage we wish to look at tonight. And somewhere I put the notes I had for the message tonight. What I do with them? Okay. I think I could do it without them, but I wouldn't want to have to make you have to endure that. Okay. Switching Bibles around gets the person all confused. Well, as I mentioned, I've been just thinking a lot about the fact that God is Creator. I guess one thing that really brought that to mind, besides seeing it in Scripture time and time again, was the fact that since I retired from full-time ministry, I've been doing substitute teaching. And oftentimes when you do substitute teaching, you show videos. My youngest son said, well, you know what qualifies you to be a substitute teacher, don't you, Dad? And I said, well, what is that? And he said, push the button. Push the button. Because lots of times the teacher doesn't want to have to try to explain where they're at they don't think you could teach them anything anyway. And there's lots of classes I couldn't teach them. I was just in the chemistry and physics classes last week, and certainly I wouldn't be able to really teach anything there. I do okay in history or English, but when it comes to the higher math and science, I'm pretty well out of it these days. But push the button, you watch videos often. And you substitute in a science class, and oftentimes it's the video which denies the creative work of God. And I sit there and it fills me with dismay to see that these kids are being taught this. They're seeing this in the video. And sometimes I have opportunity to kind of put in a word edgewise and point out maybe that's not always the case, what you're seeing there. Sometimes there's not time to do that. I see it a lot at middle school particularly, but I also see it in the high school level. That evolution is taught. You read through the textbook, evolution is front and foremost. Basically no mention of God as Creator, or if God is mentioned as Creator, well, that was once thought to be the case, but we know better now. We know better now. And maybe back 300 or 400 years ago people thought that, but we've discovered a lot since then, and we know better than that. That's religion, that's okay, but that's not really science, and science reigns. Science is king. So that's another thing that really caused me to think about this subject. And if we deny Christ as Creator, because the Bible clearly teaches, and I'm going to read at least three little passages here that certainly bring it out, that Jesus Christ is Creator of the universe, Now, God is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is creator. He's the agent that God the Father used to create the universe. And we read in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit was upon the waters. So we see it's a work of the triune God. But Jesus Christ particularly is emphasized in the New Testament as the creator. We have it here in Colossians chapter 1. But we also have it in other places. And let me just note a few of those. John 1. Many of you can recite those verses. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and then it goes ahead, through Him all things were created. Through Him, that is through Christ, through the Word, all things were created. And there's nothing that was made that has not been made by Him. Even these far-reaching stars and planets and constellations, all made by Jesus Christ as the agent of creation. Hebrews 1, verse 2, in these last days He has spoken, that is, God the Father has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Through whom He made the universe. And the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. In Hebrews chapter 1, just turn to that real quickly. Hebrews chapter 1, we see that that speaks too of Christ as Creator. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He also made the universe. Well, I guess I read that earlier. I'm sorry. I really meant to read the 11th chapter, the faith chapter, which speaks about we believe of this by faith. That we believe that He is the Creator by faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and so forth. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that, what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So, God is Creator, Christ is the agent of creation, and the Holy Spirit was also present and involved in that creation. In one of the videos that I was watching in a middle school math class a few months ago was made by Disney Corporation. And I can't remember the actual name of the film. You maybe have seen it, some of you. But it was talking about mathematics and several quotes in there that I copied down because I thought they were so pertinent to this whole idea of Jesus Christ as Creator. And it quoted Galileo, who was a believer. And he is quoted as saying, "Mathematics is the alphabet with which God has written the universe." It's the alphabet by which God has written the universe. Pythagoras, geometry. You remember geometry? Pythagorean theorem and all that? Now, he was not a believer. He lived before the time of Christ, a Greek mathematician. But even he said, everything is arranged according to numbers and mathematical shape. So even the ancient Greeks saw that there was a form to the universe, that it was amazing. And we see that, I think, if we look at science through the eyes of faith, we see that amazing way in which all things interact. Just look at the human body. And I'm not a scientist, but it doesn't take long to see that there's got to be a hand there that's not just accidental. It's not by chance. All these came about because God created them in the space of 6 days and all very good. And He did it by the word of His power. And He made it out of nothing. And yet, it endures, and it will endure as long as He desires it to endure until He comes again. And this earth and these heavens will be destroyed, but there will be the new heavens and the new earth in which will dwell the people of God who have been redeemed through His Son. So many times in Scripture it states clearly that God is the creator, and these passages that we read, and I'm certain there are some more probably we could look to as well if we took the time, but he is the agent through whom God created all things. The immensity of this universe, Bruce Parnell, Stephen's brother, older brother, put up a few weeks ago on Facebook, maybe some of you saw it, a number of pictures taken by the Hubble telescope. Now, the Hubble telescope was 25 years in existence last year, I think it was. I think it was launched in 1990. So in 2015, it was 25 years. It's been bringing back pictures from out there. And along with the pictures, which were amazing, but to my uneducated scientific eye, it was amazing, but I couldn't really tell you much about them. But there was a narrative that was printed alongside each picture. Now, the narrative, of course, came from the from our science people. And so what their interpretation was of what we're looking at in those pictures. Bruce, of course, said we put him up really in honor of his dad, who taught astronomy for many years over at Washburn University and has a keen interest in that. But one of the things that really struck me as I looked at those pictures and then saw the comments beside them was that it said they have now, through the Hubble telescope, been able to see far enough out into space that they see galaxies that they said in this comment, and I can't verify this, in fact, I'm a little skeptical of it, I don't know how they know this exactly, but they said it's 13.6 billion light years away. Any of you children know how many miles per second light travels? You didn't know you were going to get quizzed here. I was an old teacher. You see, before I went into ministry, I was a teacher for 12 years, so I always have to ask a few questions. Maybe you're not used to that. But as I recall from the science I did have, there's 186,300 miles per second that light travels. If the sun is 93 million miles away, you can want to figure that out in your head real quick, how many minutes it takes for the light from the sun that we saw today to get to the Earth. Well, it's somewhere around 8 minutes, I think, somewhere in there. 7.5, 8 minutes at that light that we saw flooding into the window. If you were at the porter's house this afternoon, it was flooding into the window at least. And that light left the sun approximately 8 minutes ago. Before that, I mean, not 8 minutes from now, then the sun is set, but somewhere it's shining. But it's at 13.6 billion light years away. And I did mathematical calculations there, and I thought, well, I'll use a calculator, but I didn't have a calculator that would go that high. So I just did it out longhand, which do you kids do that today, or do you just have to do calculators? You know, when I substitute teach in math classes, they can't do anything without a calculator. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. But I figured out, and you can check me on this, I'm not guaranteeing it's correct, but I think I figured out, at least this is what I wrote down, 2.6 trillion miles per year that light would travel. Now, that's less than the national budget, if you want to put in that category, but 2.6 trillion miles per year. A lot of talk in these last weeks and months about going to Mars. Have you been hearing about that, reading about it? We're going to colonize Mars and all that. Hopefully by the year 2024 or something like that. Mars. What's the nearest star? As I remember, once again, 4.3 light years away. So if it's 4.3 light years away and you multiply that by 2.6 trillion, well, you figure it out. But you're getting up somewhere around 10 trillion miles away. And they're saying 13.6 billion light years away. And they've seen galaxies that far out in space. And I say, how do you know that? How do you know that it's 13.6 billion light years away? I don't know. But that's what they wrote. And I didn't try to figure out how far away that is. But I know that's farther than I can see. And even the Hubble telescope, with all the pictures it can take of space, has not found the limits. It just continues to go on and on. And yet, what did we sing in Psalm 147? Again, the Lord made them all. He named them, each one. And he keeps them in their course. And it's just mind-boggling. We said this morning, read Isaiah 55. We've made brief comments about that the Lord's ways are not our ways. His mind is so far above ours. Do you ever just kind of get spinning in your mind when you start thinking about some of these things? How can it be? How? I mean, I just can't comprehend that. Just can't comprehend it. I remember when I was back in the 60s, we had a senator from Illinois. This is why I get in trouble in the time. Senator Dirksen was his name, and he said, you know, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon it adds up to a lot of money. Well, that was back in that day, and we've certainly spent a lot more since. Trillions and trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions to try to find out what's out there. What's out there? But it's all created by Jesus Christ. Well, just quickly in Colossians 1, what do we see there? Well, it clearly makes the case that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Secondly, then, it makes the case that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of all mankind, all those who are His people. He's the image of the invisible God, so He is God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. I and the Father are one. And this is another way of saying that, that Christ and the Father are one. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, that means He was the one that was created first. When God created the universe, He created the Son, Jesus Christ, first. But that's not what this means. He means that He's the preeminent one that has existed from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ had no beginning, as God had no beginning. Now, He did have a beginning as the Son of Man who came to this earth, as we all know, and we'll celebrate in a few weeks His birth. But He was not created. He's not a created being. But He was the agent through whom God created all things. Notice what else it says. Well, just what I said. By Him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. All things. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It mentions all of these very things here. Principalities, rulers, you know, and all that list. And they cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the one who sustains them, and He's the one who will make all things new. Also, we read in Romans chapter 8 about the whole creation is in travail, awaiting Christ's return. When all things will be made new. When there will be redemption of this universe. When we have the new heavens and the new earth. If we had time, we could look at some of those passages. But they're there. Notice what else it says. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. How can we tell when there's going to be a solar eclipse, for example? How can we tell that it's going to be a full moon on a certain date? And how can you go back in time and know all of those things? And how can you look to the future and say, well, this won't happen again until the year such and such? It's because in Him all things hold together. It all works because Jesus Christ keeps it in order. So, since we have such a short time, He is the Creator of all. Are you convinced of that? Do you believe that? That Jesus Christ is the Creator? Good. Good. Scripture says it. You better believe it. Okay. And He's the Redeemer. That's what the second part of this passage, beginning in verse 18, makes it very clear. That He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body, which is the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. There's a parallelism here I think you noticed, and we won't have time to go into all, but the parallelism between the passage that speaks of Him as Creator and that which speaks of Him as Redeemer. Again, He's firstborn, but here it's firstborn from the dead. He rose. He rose. firstborn from the dead, never to die again. Everyone else who was raised from the dead in all of history, and you can name the Old Testament, you can name the New Testament, what is it? Five or six people, maybe. I didn't stop to add them all up, but five or six people have been raised, never to die again? No, each of them died. Even Lazarus would die a second time. But Jesus rose to life, never to die again. He had finished the work for which he had come to do. He is risen. He overcame death. So he's the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. How? By making peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. He makes peace. All who thirst and come to the living waters that is only offered through Christ are redeemed through his blood and are filled with all the fullness of the good things that he can supply. Ephesians chapter 1, every spiritual blessing in Christ is ours. Every spiritual blessing. Nothing is held back. It's we who are so slow to respond and to believe. But God is gracious and generous in pouring out his love upon his people and upon his church. And even upon a people, Israel, as we noted this morning, who were in rebellion against him in so many times and so many ways, and turned to these man-made gods and the gods of the nations around them. But even then, God never forfeited his covenant promise that he had made with David and even with Abraham before him. So our time is up. So just those brief comments tonight, but just to think on that and to notice as you read through Scripture and as you sing the Psalms, how much it speaks of God as Creator. But if we deny that he is Creator, we're denying Scripture. And then if that's not true, then how can it be true that he's our Redeemer? How can it be true that he died? How can it be true that on the third day he rose? But the Apostle Paul says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is in vain. There's nothing to it. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for there is nothing more. It's all in this life. The old beer commercial that, with gusto, you know, you go at it with all you got, but that's all there is. But that's not the case. The Scripture makes it very clear that Jesus Christ not only created and sustains all things, but he's making all things new, and he is the Redeemer. And in him, there will be the new heavens and the new earth. Again, we can turn to Isaiah 65 and see that. We can turn to Revelation 21 and 22. We can also, as I already noted, Romans chapter 8. Those are just some of the passages that speak about the new heavens and the new earth. And those who are in Christ will be reigning with him, for he is the heir of all things. All things were not only made through him, but for him. And we are to be co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. He's not our co-pilot, as Jeff mentioned in Sabbath school this morning, but we are co-heirs with him. We have that great privilege that we will reign with him all through all eternity. So that's a quick word, but our time is up, and hopefully that rings true. And that will sustain you as we're barraged with all of this teaching that, well, God's not the creator, it's just evolved, we don't quite understand how it all happened. We're still searching for that missing link and putting it all together, but we're getting closer and closer, what they say, to finding it. But they're not looking in the right place, are they? They're not looking to God's word, and they're denying the truth of it. And unfortunately, it's not just in the scientific community and the educational community, but it's in so many churches as well. where that's being denied, that Jesus Christ is creator, that God is creator, that the Spirit of God, the triune God, is the creator, and the triune God is the one who's redeemed us. Read Ephesians chapter 1 again. I just said we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, but just see the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their role in our salvation, as Paul lays it out there in just one sentence, beginning with verse 3 through verse 14, of our great salvation that we have in Christ. Well, let's close with Psalm 33.